We are going to continue in this series of the basics of life. How many of you know people that you watch their life and you think, why do they always seem to get the breaks? Why do good things always seem to find them? Why is it that everything they seem to set their hand to tends to prosper when maybe you've made the very same effort and maybe there's been a floundering or maybe you didn't get the expectation? I don't know, for whatever reason, though, you just look at people and maybe you've even made these statements like, oh, he's so lucky. Or, man, look at, she's just so fortunate. But we don't really look at the reasons why that those good things are coming their way. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach this morning on the topic of the spirit of giving. Now, giving encompasses so many things, and we're not just talking about giving in a church offering. That's not what this is about. This is about a spirit of giving that comes from the heart and goes to the core of who a person is. Now, I'm going to read you a scripture in Luke 6:38 that nails this down, and if you don't hear anything else I say today, please make sure you don't miss this. It's very simple. It's very clear, it's very concise, and it simply says, give, say give, and it shall be given unto you, say, and it shall be given unto me. Say, if I give, it shall be given unto me, because you need to make that scripture personal, because this is the key to the prosperity of your life in all things. God cannot make it any simpler than he did in this passage. Give, and it shall be given unto you. One of the most, as far as I'm concerned, important scriptures in the Bible. Not only does this passage teach you how to live a prosperous life, but watch this, it also shows you how the process works. Now, why is that important? I don't know about you, but the more I understand about how and why something works, the more apt I am to integrate it into my life, because now I understand it, so it makes sense that I would do it. So it's not that I don't just believe God that if you give, it'll be given to you, but he actually tells you what the process looks like and how the process works. Because when you give, it says, watch this, well-defined, good measure, pressed out, shaken together, and running over. Now, those are pretty powerful words. Let me give you an example because, you know, you can, how many people have garbage in their kitchen? You know, you have it under the sink or you have it in the pantry. And, you know, you fill that garbage up. And the garbage looks full. But we know it's really not full, is it? So what do? Press down. Right? And we pick that bag up, and we shake it all together. Well, that full bag just went down to a quarter. So what we thought was full was really only a quarter full. So when we pressed it down and we shook it together, now we had a whole lot of room for more. And so we fill it up again. And then what do? Some of y'all real thrifty, you shake that thing 47 times. What God's trying to send the message to you is when you think you've given something and it's full, that thing will get pressed down, will get shaken together, and will keep running over 47 times if that's what it takes. It's a principle that he says in his word, that he tells you how it works, that when it's pressed together, that, watch this now, this is the part I like, you don't want to miss this, shall men Say that's folks, it might be women, mankind. The folks will give into your bosom. Say that means it's coming back to me. For the same measure you meet with all, it should be measured to you again. So here's what you need to get a revelation of the scripture. We read the scripture all the time, but we don't get the revelation of it. So today I want to show you not just that God gives a promise in his word, but how the process works and what occurs at the moment you give. Because at the moment you give, it sets off a chain reaction of giving. Oh, you never looked at it like that before. What does that mean? It doesn't say a man will give into your bosom. It says men, plural. Your giving and your attitude towards that giving set off and activates the spirit of giving within men. Because every time you give, you start a cycle of giving that is activated. And so once that, watch now, once you give, you've already set the precedence where now God will honor the promise that you have initiated. So it activates the spirit of giving that the Holy Spirit will begin ministering to other people on your behalf. I'm just reading the scriptures. You got to read the scriptures. You got to put them into context. And all of a sudden, someone who was not paying you any attention, was not thinking about you, was not contemplating anything about your finance, all of a sudden becomes motivated to do something for you that you didn't even know they were going to do. It's called a spirit of giving, and you activated it the moment you gave. You initiated it. The spirit of giving then was released, and people were motivated to bring the substance back to you. So the cycle starts with you. It doesn't end with you. It comes back to you. What do you mean it doesn't end with me? Oh, stay tuned. We're getting there. Can everyone track this so far? I'm going to make it so easy, you'd have to be a preacher to mess this up. You give, God is going to watch over his word to hasten it. He's faithful, he guarantees it. His Holy Spirit then begins to activate the spirit of giving in people. Those people then start seeking you out. They start finding you, and they start bringing blessing back into your life. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a good thing. Now, before I start talking about things, it's not just about things. There's three things that you have to offer. That's it. You got three things you have to offer. And that's your time, that's your treasure, and that's your talent. That's what you bring to the table. That's what you can bring. That's what you can give to someone. Your time, your treasure, and your talent. Now, how you give them is how you will be rewarded. Let me read to you another scripture, Romans 2 and 5 in the NIV. It says, God will repay each person according to what they've done. So again, we have God as the guarantor, you as the one who is giving, you are the one who you're giving. And let me tell you something, I cannot count on, there's no way, I've lost count so many, how many times I have given my care away. I'm not talking about the plan. I'm talking about, I've worked on people in buses, bleachers, back offices, in cars. I've helped sick people ever around the world. I'm just talking about with my doctoring gift. Not even the ministerial gifts, which, you know, that just kind of goes with the package. But I'm talking about, I went to my occupation on purpose. Because if you say, well, you're a pastor, you ought to do that. Okay, well, I'm a doctor. So I would rather wear that hat while I'm talking about this. And I cannot tell you how many times I have stayed late when I have came in extra. Why? I wasn't keeping score. I wasn't doing it to see, you know, oh, if I do this, that person will do it for me. No, I just did it because it was the right thing to do, and it was in my heart to do it because that's who I am. You see the difference? We're not manipulating a system. Sometimes we look at God and we're trying to manipulate a system so we can get things to swing our way. No, if your heart's right, you'll already work the system. And you'll become the thing that activates the system of prosperity in your life. God's more interested in what you're becoming instead of what you're doing. Pause. Think. Receive that. Got it? So God's word is trying to instruct us to look into our heart. And out of the goodness of the treasure of that heart, we're going to do some things. And the moment we give our time, our treasure, and our talent, anybody here ever bless somebody? I give people money all the time. I'm not telling you that. I don't want a reward for that. I'm just telling you, I don't tell anyone when I do it. I just do it. But sometimes I know there's a need with people. You know, there's times I don't have the money, and I give it anyway. Why would you do that? Because I trust God enough to know that that's what I'm supposed to do. How many people do the same? Go ahead, put your hand up. It's going to be almost everybody in here, right? Because your heart is good. Your heart is right towards God. So when you give, you start these chain reactions. And this, whatever you give always circles and finds its way back to you. Now, even when it comes to money, now we've been talking about things, let's talk about money because it's kind of an important deal. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it said, every man, that's everybody, God's no respecter of persons, every man according to as he purposes in his heart. Giving is a heart thing. Giving will always be a heart thing. It's not for manipulation. God's not an auto lotto. God's not a poker game you enter in hoping you get the high card. God judges on the intent of your heart. Did you know that? Not your actions, on your intent. Matter of fact, every issue in your life, the Bible says, comes from where? The heart. So where do you suppose giving starts? It's a heart thing. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a heart thing. And look right back and say, we got to get our heart right. So then there's some destruction. If it's a heart thing, let him give. But don't do it grudgingly. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Or out of necessity, I'm feeling guilty. Okay, you put so much pressure on me. All right, I'm going to bend. I'm going to buckle. I'm going to cave. Here you go. Keep your money. Not grudgingly. Not out of necessity. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Because you're doing it because it's just what you want to do. How good does it feel when you bless somebody in need and you see that smile come back on you and you see that confidence come back into their life? You see the relief come to them because the need is met. God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, let's just talk about it for a minute. Have you ever needed something and you had to go to someone and they just looked like they were put out? Or that it actually frustrated, maybe even angered them. Here we go. Really? Or they'd hesitate. The big hesitation with the stare. Let me tell you. If you ever see that, I'm so never going to ask you again. I don't want anything attached to that spirit because that spirit will find me later because everything circles back and I don't want that to circle back and bite me. So I'm just going to look for somebody that's cheerful about the situation, because I have been giving my entire life, and if it ever comes around to me, then God will send me a cheerful giver, just like I was a cheerful giver then. And if you're not cheerful, you're not the right one that's supposed to help me at that time. I'm talking to somebody today. I hope you're listening. I'm trying to help you through a really, really, really hard time. So don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, because remember, that will circle back as well. Nothing can hinder a spirit of giving like an ungrateful heart. Let's talk about it. You know we're going to talk about it. So when someone is stingy in their giving, let's just go ahead and point at the elephant in the room. There's two main reasons why they're stingy. Can we go ahead and just get to the bottom of it? Let's talk about it. They're ungrateful because they think their possessions belong to them. Come on, we've heard people say, it's my money, I'll do what I want with it. Well, we have located the problem. Now, I've done this a few, probably 100, maybe even 1,000 times since I've been here. But there are a lot of new people here that have never heard this. And if you have heard this at least once or 100 or how many times I've said it, don't answer the question. Because the first time you answered it wrong too. If God gives you $100, and I know we understand the tithe, how much of it belongs to you? There's none. I said, don't answer it if you've heard it. Get the oil. Everyone in here, their first try, will say, oh, well, we give $10 to God. How much is God's? $10. How much is mine? $90. No, if $100 belongs to God, and you get to steward over that $100. What are you talking about, Pastor? Because everything, and the fullness thereof. I don't want to talk about a cattle on a thousand hills, because not a lot of you have cows and calves and you live in it. And if you do, I'm praying for you anyway. But God owns everything. The earth and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. Do we understand that? Now, if we've got that, and you get $100 that comes into your possession, you are only a steward over that $100. Now, you can do what you want with it, but if the one who gave it to me and tells me how to steward and which ways to do it, I probably should listen to him instead of doing it my way. And when you hear the principles that I'm reading to you in the Bible, you will find out why some people don't prosper in their life. Some people get stuck and they're always fighting and they're never ahead and they're never being blessed. Are you listening to me? And I'm just trying to make some sense why, because if you happen to be in that group, I want to help you out of where you are. All of us can use an adjustment. When I was reading this, I saw some tweaks I need to make in my own life. Praise God, that's what the word's for. For rebuke, for correction. Lord, have mercy. We all need some correction. So when we're reading this, we're not coming against anyone. We're for you. We're for you, not against you. Okay, we're trying to help all of us. I'm actually being helped by this while I'm preaching it, just so you know. I'm in the same boat you are, if that helps at all. Okay? So if you got $100, God says automatically take 10% of it and put it in kingdom. And he calls that bringing the tithe. He's not asking you. He said, bring it. That's a requirement. So every $100 you bring, you put $10. Now, you can do it your way, and you don't have to. You might make money, and you might be successful. But just know that you're not doing it God's way. Just know that. Okay? God says put 10. Why? Because that 10% is where moth and rust cannot corrupt it. And it is eternal. Everything you put in a bank, there's a time clock ticking. Everything you put into kingdom is eternal. It's forever. It's what you will be living on when we leave this place. So 10% is in your eternal bank account. Okay? Then he even teaches us how to give, and depending on how we give, we can actually control how our finances are. If we want to give more, we'll reap more. It's not rocket science. God sets it up pretty easy. So when I see someone who's stingy with their money, the first one is they think it belongs to them. And so if you are one of those people, can I just let you know now? It's all going to be wood, hay, and stubble soon. So I suggest you get back to recognizing it's the one who gave it to you. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And if I were you, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if I were you, I would be honoring the way God tells you to do it. And I don't know about you, but I am grateful for everything God has ever done for me. I am so thankful. I am so undeserving of the things that God has done for me, but I will never come to him with an ungrateful heart. That's number one. Number two, you ready for this one? The reason why people are stingy with their money is fear. No, they don't trust God. They don't believe that God can put it back. They think they're losing something. Yeah. It's real easy to think when money leaves your hand that you're losing it instead of gaining. But the Bible says if you give, it's given to you. And it comes back better than you gave it. Because it starts a cycle of giving. And the more men, now watch this, this is the part we didn't talk about. Then those men that came and gave to you, didn't they just sow seed to you? So what happens to those men? Then the spirit of giving multiplies and goes out to bless them. Do you see how one little give moment of giving activates multiples of the spirit of giving? You ever get a church that gets this attitude? I was going to step, but I'm going to go a little further because I want to make sure that you understand the scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Sow a little, get a little. Is that easy? I don't want to make this hard. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Give a lot, get a lot. God gives you the choice. He says, purpose in your heart how you're going to give it. We're back to the heart. So if you really believe God, if you really trust God, then you won't be afraid to be a giver. Can I say it this way? If you're not practicing that, then you don't believe it. I'm going to go ahead and just get those toes all stomped while we're at it. Pastor David used to say it this way. He said, if you ever want to see what your relationship looks like with God, go back and look at your checking account. Now, if you want your feelings hurt, we all talk about how much we love God and how much we're into God. And how, okay, go see how much you have given to kingdom. And then look at what you're investing in everything else. You tell me who you love the most. So, guys, my job is not to make you feel guilty or make you feel bad. My job is to show you the truth so we can all prosper and do the things God wants us to be able to do and have the things that God wants us to have. Now, this scripture I just read you, give a little, get a little, give a lot, get a lot. Either the statement is true or it isn't. Either you believe it or you don't. Either you're practicing it or you're not. There's no in between. So people ask me all the time, Pastor, how do I get out of financial crisis? By the scripture I just read, the answer is you give your way out. You give your way out. Is that not what the scripture says? If I'm reading it wrong, someone please correct me. This is the one place God does teach us to be able to give our way out of a financial crisis. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because God is able to bless you abundantly. This is what happens when you listen to God. So that in all things, say in all things, say at all times, say having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So God wants you to have in all things, at all times, having everything you're going to need. It says they have freely, let's keep reading. See, we stopped reading there, but you're not done. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower. Now stop. I got to walk away for a minute. We read past that and we're thinking, well, yeah, God, he gives seed for the sower. But who's he giving the seed to? Say it. The sower. If you're not sowing, you're not getting any seed. If I have one more person say, boy, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to the Lord. No, you won't, because you got 10 bucks in your pocket. You won't give him $5. He gives seed to the sower. And you're like, well, how do I know when it's seed? How do I know? Okay, how many people have ever had a bill for $100? Now, God says he will meet all of your needs. If you get 60 bucks in your hand and your bill is $100, is that enough to meet all of your need? Then what's that 60 bucks? It's seed. Because when the amount shows up that it's their right amount, it will meet all of your needs. Problem is, we get 60 bucks and we're I got 60 bucks. And we eat our seed. We have it spent before the day's over. I get so quiet when you talk like this. Teaching you Bible principles that once you ever come to grips with them, they have the potential to change your life. I am having to make some adjustments myself because I didn't realize I was slipping in some areas that I just hadn't thought about. You ever do that? I'm not saying it's intentional. It's just sometimes we get so busy, we forget the basics, which is why we are teaching the basics of life. We have to go back and to understand the spirit of giving and how it operates. Because he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He will also increase your store of seed. Listen to this. And will enlarge the harvest of righteousness. How much? So much so, listen to this, that you will be enriched in every way. Means whatever you're doing, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So here's the question here. Can God trust you to be a generous giver? He cannot trust you to be a generous giver until you are generous with what you have. Everybody's always waiting on what they will get. That's not where that scripture started. I read that scripture all the way to the end, and at the very end, he said, you will be enriched so that you can be generous. But it started back when you got some seed. You didn't even have enough for your need, so you were in lack, and you were generous. Therefore, at the end of the scripture, you are enriched in every way because you could be trusted when you were in lack. So if you were trusted when you were lack, of course you could be trusted now that you're generous. If you can't be trusted in your lack, how can you be trusted when you get some money? Scripture from front to back. It has a beginning, and it has an end and you have to track, but you can't skip the steps in between. See, it's a hard thing. Either you trust God or you don't. Now there, I can go around. I know several people right now. I could just pull up here that I know they didn't have two pennies to rub together, but they gave the one that they had. The woman with the two mites gave the two mites. It's all she had. And God said she was the biggest giver in the house that day. I'm challenging to the core of who you are, because the Bible also says money solves all things. So there's a lot of unsolved things in our life that we can't get to because our heart is not right when it comes to giving. Now, I'm just talking about money now. We've got time, church. We've got lots of other things to talk about. But if you can't do it with your finance, so there it is. Bible says, this is so amazing. Y'all sure you're ready for this? Because I'm going to continue reading that scripture. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go ahead, you know. Some websites will say this is for adults only. This is for mature givers only. Check the box. Can I go on? This is only for mature people now. Not for y'all still, you know, squandering over, wondering if you're still going to pay tithes or not. If you're there, don't listen. Put plugs in your ears, because you're not going to get this. This is for the mature givers. Next level. So it says, this service that you perform, the one I just read, I'm still continuing in the verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for your obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them with everyone else. In other words, you put your money where your mouth is. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There it is. Ready for you mature people? Now, the people are so affected by your giving that now they're praying for you and to God about you and how much grace they're receiving from him because of you. I said it starts here and it ends here. No, it starts there and it ends here. With all the glory going back to God. Yeah, the prosperity returns to you, but the glory still has to be offered back up to God. And when God sees that you are faithful and the people recognize you're faithful, they're praising God because of your faithfulness, that you are who you say you are, you believe what you say you do, and therefore, just by the act of obedience, you are sending the blessing back to God. You sowed, you reaped, and you returned it back to God. That is what the spirit of giving is all about. Oh, I know we like to get our knees bent, but that's not what it's about. It's about, in the process, God getting the glory. It will always be about God getting the glory. And your lack of obedience also disproves this. Can I say this? I don't want to offend anybody. There's nothing worse than a stingy person sitting in church. It is counterproductive. It's awkward. It doesn't make sense. How can you be stingy and be in church? Freely given, freely received. You want everything, but you don't want to give anything back? Why are you here? It's rude. It's disrespectful to God. I'll say it. Nobody wants to say it. I'll say it. Why are you disrespecting God that way? He was so gracious to give it to you. Why are you so stingy to give it back to his people? It was never for you. It was so your generosity could be given, that they could see your obedience. So then they would praise God, and you would be able to bring that gift back to him. And finally, I'm going to close with this, because you need to put it in perspective. Matthew 6, I'm going to read verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Sashaying up so everyone can see what you're doing. It says, if you do, it's not me talking, it's God talking. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've already received their reward. In full, it says. So the minute you're bragging about what you've done for kingdom, you got your reward. It's okay, God's glad you gave, but just know you already got that reward. Because he says that. But when you give to the needy, it says, do not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that you may give in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The other translation says, what you do in secret, he will reward you openly. I don't need people to thank me. I appreciate when people thank you. But so many times we do something for someone and you're like, well, they didn't even say thank you. I didn't know you were doing it for them. I thought you were doing it for God. By the way, you should say thank you if someone gives you money. But I'm just saying. So, according to the scripture, this is the pure spirit of giving that the Bible speaks about. In Luke 6:30 says, ready? This is for 21 and above. That was for mature. This is next level. Y'all sure you can handle this? You see how this has to happen in steps. But you got to know what you're shooting for. Ready? Okay, here it comes. Give to everyone who asked you. Some of y'all back there right now. And if, you ready for this? And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Amen. She said, ouch. I said, amen. It's okay. This is all about truth today. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners do that. Here comes the wind-up pitch. Ready? Fastball down the middle. Here it comes. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be the children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Remember, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for him. Now with that, the closure scripture is this, Galatians 6:10, because you have to keep everything in perspective in the Bible. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. You see that now, right? But especially, that means we've got to give special attention here, priority right here, to those who belong to the family of believers. That would be first. Remember, your first responsibility is always the house of God. Tithe, it's mandatory. It's not an option. If I have to still talk about that, then we'll have Baby Christian 101 over here right after service. If you're not tithing, I'm just telling you, you're not doing it God's way. You may have arguments, you have frustration, but you probably need to see one of our ministers because we want to walk you through intelligence in the Bible. If you have an argument, bring it and let us just kill that devil and show you what the scripture says. Because the enemy is keeping you from the prosperity you deserve, and it's not fair. We don't want anyone here to live less than what God has planned. And tithe means tenth. I've heard people say, yeah, well, I'm going to tithe 5%. I'm going to tithe 20%. You can't tithe 20%. You can't tenth 20. So what you meant to say was you're tithing 10% and you're going to give 10%. That's great. That's awesome. But he's just asking for 10. That's it. You don't get to decide that. You don't get to give half that. You don't get to decide. Tithe is tenth of all your increase. Got it? And giving, that dictates how you want to receive. I can't tell you how to give. I won't tell you how to give. You have to purpose in your heart. That's a heart thing. But if you want out of financial crisis, if you want to see yourself prosper, you got to give. There's no. You know, we receive offerings for the house of God every time. This goes directly to people. This is so people can be enriched. This is so glory can come back to God. We do this every service. And you have an opportunity to take control of your finances, but that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do and what not to do. That has to be in your heart. But for God's sake, if you're bleeding and you're just barely eking out an existence, give your way out of that situation. So final instruction, encouragement to this church, let us use our faith and instruction in the Word, because we want to ignite a spirit of giving that's so huge and that's so powerful that it shakes this entire community and brings back the souls to God's kingdom. When you are at a restaurant, put some money on the table. Don't throw pennies down on that table. Stop embarrassing God. I tell you, one thing I was hearing for the longest time is it's a, you're pastor of Glory to Him? Wow. Man, one of your members came in and, you know, then they just begin to brag. And, man, we were, I'm telling you, man, do you know how many of those waiters and waitresses got babies to feed? They're making pennies on the dollar. They depend on your tip. You're going to throw down 25 cents? You're going to throw down $2 when they have run their tail off back and forth, you sweat dripping off their forehead? Come on, lay down a 50. Lay down a 100. Bless them, folks. I'm telling you, when you start to give like this, when you see somebody that's homeless, don't, well, he's going to take that money. Don't worry what he's going to do with that money. If the Lord puts it on your heart, go give it to him. You don't know, that might be the difference in them getting a last meal and not even getting to eat at all. If the Lord puts it on you, he says, anyone asks, gives it to him. Just give it to him. It's not your duty to discover and decipher what they're going to do with it. It's your obligation to bless. That's it. What they do is their own choice. You will be blessed, but when you do it, remember, you activate it. Can you imagine if this starts breaking out? We start, I mean, when you're in front of somebody, you know how many times I've been in a restaurant and said, we just did it, what, last, was it 2 weeks ago? I just looked over the table, and I don't know, there must have been, what, 20 people sitting at that table. I said, Nisa, Lord's telling me to buy their dinner. So I called the waitress over. She said, okay. And it wasn't cheap. Before I could get my stupid head involved, I just give him a card. Here, put it down. Let's buy that dinner. Why'd you do that? Because the Lord told me to. Well, what reason? I don't know. I just know I was supposed to do it, and I did it, and things have been turning around in my life ever since. Good stuff started happening again. You know, I didn't do it for that. I did it because God told me to do it. So you never know when you're supposed to do what. But can you imagine if this kind of spirit starts breaking out in here in general, then it's going to start bringing a chain reaction to you. And when it brings it around to you, then remember, exponentially it goes out again and it brings it back, and it's going to start circulating right back into this church, and it's just like a revolving door. Then the people start seeing your obedience. They start talking about it. They start talking about going, I want to go to that church. My God, those people really put their money where their mouth is. They really practice what they preach. Next thing you know, we can't get them all in here, and all the glory goes to him. That's what we call it. Glory to him. It's a spirit of giving. Can you please stand to your feet across the house? Remember, everything in kingdom is choice. And everything in kingdom is based out of need, not want. God said, I'll meet all your needs according to his glory, not all your wants. Sometimes we get that mixed up. But just by looking around, I can see ain't nobody missing any meals. And somebody say, God's been good to me. Most everybody I know here, you got here in a vehicle. Everybody's wearing some pretty nice threads today. Say it again. Say, God's been good to me. So many times in life, we look and focus on the things we don't have when the true treasures are stacked all around us. If we would just focus on what we have. Everybody in here has more than enough. More than enough. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's the truth. So I'm going to challenge you to the core of who you are today. And on the spirit of giving, and those two things that make us stingy are being ungrateful because we think all these possessions belong to us. No, they don't. They belong to God. And it's God's way or the highway. And just remember, if you do it any other way, there will be a day of accountability showing up. I'm not trying to scare anyone, but it's every day. Because the Bible says when God gives a blessing, there's no sorrow with it. When you take money and you do other than what God tells you to do with it, sorrow comes with it. Just know it. I just served you notice so you understand perhaps what may be going on in your life. So I've had to rethink some things, even going back through these basics. I know some things that I'm going to change personally in my own financial walk because I need to. It wasn't intentional. I just got away from the basics. So I'm hoping, did anyone here hear some things today that maybe you think, oh, man, I got to go back? Kind of make some adjustments. We're all in the same boat here. And that's what this word is for, and that's why I appreciate it. I don't know how to teach this any better way. I don't know how to teach it and align it any more with the word. Because you don't want to just talk about giving. It's the spirit that's attached to it. And the reasoning for why we give. So I hope today that you will make those adjustments, whatever those things are, that you will be glad to do them, so you can start to experience the life that God has expected for you. Not what you've expected. The life God has purposed for you. So if you came here today, it's funny we're teaching the basics of life because the first one is salvation. And for some reason, you're here today and you just never got saved. You never actually said the prayer of salvation for whatever reason. I mean, you might even believe in Jesus, but you never actually believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that he is Lord according to Romans 10 and 9. And until you do that, you're not saved. So it doesn't matter what you believe. I just have to tell you what the Bible says. But aren't you glad you came today? Because if you did, let's say that prayer. Let's believe it. Let's confess it. And let's get it handled. Now, in a little bit, we're all going to pray. We're all going to pray together. So I'm not going to call you out and call you down or do all that. Don't need to do any of that. God hears you right where you are. But in a little bit, we're all going to pray that prayer of salvation. But I do like to know who's praying with us so I can, in my spirit, agree with you. So again, if that's you, Christ wasn't ashamed to die for you in public. Don't be ashamed to receive him publicly. But if you say today, Pastor, man, I want to receive that salvation because I want to be a part of what you've been talking about today. If that's you, just lift your hand so I can see you. Don't be embarrassed. Just lift your hand. Can I say thank you for that hand? Anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? And you're not asked to join a church. You're just saying, Pastor, I want to get it right today. Is anybody else? No? Look across one more time. A lot of hands out there. That was great. Okay. Now, the second batch of hands is simply this. Oh, you've asked the Lord into your life, but we all know when we're not where we're supposed to be with the Lord. But today, the Lord is calling you back, and he wants your full attention. Well, if that's you, and you would commit, you'd say, you know, that's me, Pastor. I got to get right back in the middle again. You want to come into right standing with God, lift your hands. Let me look at your hands across. Yeah, there we go. Hands all over the house. Thank you for that. You can put those hands down. I just like to know who I'm praying with. And then the third and final is, you'd say, Pastor, I heard the word, and I want to do it God's way. And I'm going to make all of the adjustments necessary that I can to line myself up with that word. Can I see your hand in here today? Okay, that's your commitment to God. Thank you for being so obedient to the word of God. You're not doing it for me, you're doing it for God. And God's going to honor you, and God's going to bless you because he said he would. And I'm going to celebrate every time he does. I'm your best cheerleader. If I hear something good's happening in your life, I go nuts. I lose my mind. I'll dance, shout, scream for you. So I want to hear when these blessings start breaking out. I want to know about them. Come find me in the foyer, wherever I am. I'm here after service. I'm here. I'm up in the foyer. I want to know. I want to know when God's rocking your world. Man, I love it. Please don't hesitate to come and share it with me, okay? But first, now what I want to do is exactly what I said I want to do. I want to pray the prayer of salvation. Everyone's going to pray it. It's not important that you hear me pray it or the people around you. It's important that you hear yourself making that proclamation of faith. And the minute you say amen, Jesus gets up to that Lamb's Book of Life, writes your name in it, and it says all of heaven's rejoicing. So as soon as we say amen, as heaven's rejoicing, we're going to rejoice with heaven, okay? So let's bow our heads, repeat after me, say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart, fill me, cleanse me, and make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am a new creation. Now the old things have passed away. Behold, all things, they're new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are now my Lord. I believe it and confess it. And that settles it. And it's in Jesus' mighty and powerful name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's rejoice as all of heaven is rejoicing right now. And by the way, anyone that needs any prayer or if you want to talk about the experience you just had, we have ministers down here at the end of every service. We'll stay as long as you need us for all the help you need. That's what we're for. If you haven't stopped by and met Pastor Anise and I, we'll be right up in the front there in that front room in there where the coffee shop is. Please stop by, especially if you're just first time attending today. If you're here, glory to him, you're important to us. We just want to shake your hand. Just want to see your smiling face, and we're so glad that of all the churches you picked Glory to Him. Thank you for being a part of the family. Let's welcome our first-time attenders again. All right, everybody, I'm going to bring Pastor Winston up here. Thank you. God bless you. We will see you next Sunday.